Lord, we just thank you again that you've allowed us this platform to come together and fellowship and talk about the things of you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you forgive us of anything that we've done to hinder our walk in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be anointed, that you're going to work through us. You're going to work through everybody, Lord, tonight. And Lord, we're still seeking and praying for revival to start. We need revival, Lord. We all need that in an encouraging way. And we praise you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. People are going to open up eyes to see and to understand the truth of the gospel. Lord, let it be a night of revelatory words from you. And Lord, also a filling of the Holy Spirit in all of us, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for answering all of our prayers, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing the sick, raising the dead, calling out them dry bones, putting all that flesh back on them and calling them in, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Get me a piece of paper here. Anybody got any prayer requests? Today is 8/8/17 or 8/8/8. 7 and 1 is 8. Amen. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I do. I just want you all to agree with me. Come against these spirits that are coming against me right now, and just the last day or so. So, Lord, we come against these spirits of depression and sadness and everything. Lord, we bind them up in the name of Jesus. We just cast them away, Lord, and I don't want any of that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent him on the way, that he is free of all of that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing the joy of the Lord in Matt's heart. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that he's going to jump up tonight sometime and just start praising you, Lord, because that sends away the enemy faster than anything. And we praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Matt in Jesus' name. Thank you for cleansing him and delivering him and setting him free. In Jesus' name. Condemnation go in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for continuing these good dreams that you've given him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? What about a praise report or testimony? Okay. Yeah, Matt.
I just want to give a little bit of a praise report. Obi wasn't going regular. In fact, he missed a couple of days of going to the bathroom. And so we prayed for him at the meeting. At the Saturday pot blessing, and the next day, Sunday, he went to the bathroom several times, and it was a trial to our faith, you know. And my wife, you know, she gave that testimony of being tempted that whole time. Well, what if he doesn't go, or what if he doesn't this, you know? But she overcame, and he's going regular now, and so praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. When the baby's happy, everybody's happy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else with a testimony? Yeah, Leah.
I had the same problem, Matt. Hallelujah.
All right. I Thank you, Lord. Moving right along. All right. Anybody else got a? You got anything else, Leon?
No.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got a praise report? Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, Michael and everybody. So I shared, I think, last time about my son Josiah. And we're still believing for him. You know, his deliverance hasn't been completely manifested yet. Things are changing, that's for sure, and we're super thankful for that. We continue to believe, we continue to stand and confess that, you know, Josiah is healed and he is blessed. But I do want to share something that the Lord kind of brought me through, and I'm really thankful for it. You know, ever since you taught on that whole fasting thing, I really took it to heart, and I took up a fast not really knowing where it was going to take me or where it was going to go. And I mean, the most I've ever fasted was 3 days. And so after your teaching, I was like, well, this is a good time to, you know, go ahead and get back into it and see where God will take me, you know. And so I took up a 3-day fast and I did that, and I felt prompted to keep on going. And I continued up till a week. A week goes by. I'm pretty miserable, you know. I work 12 hours a day, but the Lord put it on my heart to keep going. So I picked up that book that you were reading from, you know, by Franklin Hall, or what was his name? I think it was.
Yeah, that's it.
And I was very encouraged by some of the testimonies there, and it kind of kept me going. So I just kept on going after a week, and before you knew it, it was already almost 10 or 13 days. And I, sure enough, I started getting stronger, and I'm still weak and all that, but before I knew it, it was already 2 weeks, and I felt pretty good. You know, I was like, well, this is great. I'll just keep on going, Lord. So there's been a few, you know, and the Lord's been, and the Lord the whole time, you know, I'm praying as well. I'm not praying maybe as much as I would have liked to now looking back at it. But we had, you know, I'm praying for Josiah. I'm praying for my cousin who's got this growth on his neck. I'm praying for my sister who went away from the Lord. And, on the 17th day, I was so tired. You know, I was just so weak and just ready to give up. Morally, you know, spiritually, physically, I was just drained. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, you've got to do something for me. There's got to be some breakthrough, you know. And I go to bed. I can't sleep. I'm tired as a, you know, I'm dead tired. But I'm crying out to the Lord in my bed. It's midnight. Maybe it's 2 a.m. And I'm still crying out to God. Lord, you've got to break through and speak to me, you know. I finally fell asleep. And, in my dream, I am filled with prayer. I'm just breaking down before, like, I was breaking down and crying to God before I fell asleep. I fall asleep, and I'm still just broken before God on my knees, crying out to the Lord. And I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm praying with my voice. I'm praying with my understanding, sleeping. And I know that I'm being heard, you know. It's an amazing feeling. And 6 o'clock in the morning comes around. I wake up, man, and I feel so rejuvenated. I prayed the whole night. I prayed in my dream. So that morning I feel so strong and encouraged and uplifted. And so I call my mom, you know, who's praying for my sister as well. You know, we're believing that she went away from the Lord and got intimate with her boyfriend and just ran away from home. Even though she's like 21 years old, she was living at home, but still, you know, there was this broken relationship, and she just rebelled and was gone for now 6 months up to this point. And this was my 17th day of my fasting. And I call up my mom and I start, you know, and she starts crying to me about all this discouragement. I start encouraging her because I'm uplifted all of a sudden, you know, after this night. And I start encouraging her, and lo and behold, that night on the 17th day of my fast, and after talking to my mom and encouraging her, my sister came back. She came back to the Lord, left her boyfriend, left that adulterous, fornicating relationship, threw it all behind her, and came home. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, it was amazing. It was amazing to see how the Lord put it all together. You know, I just got done talking to my mom that morning saying, Mom, I don't know how God's going to do it. You know, she belongs to the Lord, but I know he'll bring her back. I prayed for her all night. I prayed for my son all night. I know my son's going to be healed. My sister's going to be delivered. My other brother's going to come back to the Lord. I just know it. And that night, she came back. It was amazing, and how God orchestrated it. I'm 3,000 miles away from my family, you know. So all I could tell her was that, you know, the Lord knows what He's doing. He's just going to take care of it. And sure enough, He did it. You know, with my son, after sharing that testimony last week with you guys, well, something's changed because he now cries. You know, he was basically deaf and dumb up to that point. Like, he wouldn't cry. He'd never let you know that he was hungry. He wouldn't. And now he's actually crying. Like, except the only problem is he's nonstop crying. So it's like another trial now, you know. All of a sudden he now has his voice, and he can cry a storm. But now he's crying too much. So anyway, we're thankful that at least he has his voice back. and the seizures aren't happening as often anymore, so we're thankful for that. My wife is very tired. She continues to labor heavily with him, and we you know, I know that it's going to come, we're going to come through. I did end up going the full 21 days of fasting. I broke it Sunday. People were starting to wonder what was going on with me. I lost like 30 pounds, you know, getting all thin like this. And they're used to seeing me a little bit, you know, rounder. So I could have easily kept on going. The Lord really blessed me through it, you know. And even though I didn't see the manifestation of my son's healing after 21 days of fasting, He did do something for me through it all, and that was put a great burden in my heart to seek him. Not so much to seek the miracles, but to really, really get to know Jesus. He put that burden in my heart, and I really wanted that more than anything. And, you know, I would cry out to God, Lord, give me a desire to read your word. Give me a desire to pray. Give me a desire to know you better, to have this longing, deep prayer that just comes from the inside, you know, this longing for you, this closeness that these men of God like you read, John G. Lake, and I want to have that, you know, closeness to him. And through that fast, he did that, you know, he did that for me. And I think that is the biggest victory that I'm extremely thankful to the Lord for that. And I'm looking forward to being able to keep doing that, you know, maybe take a few months off, gain my weight back, and then go back into it, Lord willing, and just continue to labor in that, because I definitely see a fruit in that. I really do. And I encourage the rest of the group to, you know, just go by faith. If the Lord puts it on your heart to go 1 week, do it. If you feel great to continue, do it. It's worth it. You might not see everything that you want, but I'll tell you, he will draw your heart much closer to himself. And that in and of itself is just amazing. it's amazing to lay down in bed and to have nothing but prayer fill your heart. It's amazing to wake up in the morning and have nothing but prayer fill your heart. It's amazing, you know, to come home and want to read the Bible, or wake up at 5 a.m. and want to read the Bible. That, you know, to me, that's strange before the fast, but God put that in my heart. And I just wanted to share that as a testimony that, you know, he does that. You know, he delivers you from sadness. He delivers you from frustrations. And one of the things that I dealt with, and that's kind of a generational thing in my family, is anger. It's a big deal for me. It's a really personal matter with me. I struggled with it all my life. And through this whole process, I'm seeking God for that deliverance, to completely be free from that demon of anger. It's in my father. It's in his side of the family. It runs deep. I know my dad's not delivered of it, and I have to deal with it. I think it's even rubbed off on my children in many ways. And so that is one, also a prayer request that maybe, you folks could agree with me. I'd like to just pray and ask God for complete deliverance from this, this demonic force, this stronghold that's ruling over my family. I really want to be delivered from that completely.
But, all right. So that's why we believe with you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much for your precious love for my soul, Lord, and for my family, and for what you've done so far, Father. I'm so thankful for this group of folks, Lord, that get together and to worship, that worship you and seek you in heart and with all sincerity and truth, Lord. And you know my heart, Lord, that I desire to be like you, Jesus. I want to be like you. I want to have that closeness to the Father like you had when you were on this earth, Lord. And I want to be delivered from this anger, Lord. It's not mine. This is not my heavenly nature, Lord. I stand against it. I bind these demonic forces that rise up against me, against my children, and my wife, Lord. And I speak deliverance over my household, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that these demonic forces will be completely gone. We rebuke them. We turn away from them, Lord. We confess your deliverance, Father. I confess joy over my household, Lord. I ask that the spirit of joy and peace come over my children, my heart, Lord, that these forces of frustration that come and tempt us, Father, that they would have no effect upon my mind, upon my heart, upon my children or my wife, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We break any generational curses that may still be lingering around there in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that they are broken. He doesn't have to put up with that anymore. And we thank you, Lord, he is free of anger as well. And we praise you, Father, Amen. that household does have the joy of the Lord all through it, in it, and around it. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Praise God. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Lynn. And that was awesome. Yeah, that praying and fasting, that fasting is essential for a Christian. It really is.
Michael, this is Malcolm here.
Yeah, Malcolm.
I think we all have, most of us, what you were reading about fasting. And I've had a real hard time trying to get going. Our garden is just coming on, and there's all this stuff out there. I finally decided I better let it just go to pot and and just start fasting. So if you're kind of indecisive, there will be plenty of excuses to come up encourage you to just one more meal, one more day, you know, or one more whatever. You know, something's going to rot in the refrigerator if you do this. The other night morning, I had a dream in which there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. I can't remember a lot of it, but I was in some setting. It was almost like a dorm setting for a high school. And there was I had to get to an exercise program that started at 6:30 in the morning. And for some reason I started to eat, and normally you don't want to exercise. I mean, you don't want to eat anything before you go do, you know, running or heavy exercise. So, but about 6:15, 6:10, somewhere around there, I was eating breakfast or something, I thought. And then I started thinking in my dream, I was thinking, well, what am I doing? I've got to do this heavy exercise at 6:30. And then a little bit later, I looked at the clock and it was 6:30 and I needed to get down there and I wasn't down there yet. And, anyway, I just wanted to share that part of it that, it was right about the time I was really, planning to start fasting. So I think there's a lot of significance in that. At least I take significance out of it. And that is that, there was like a deadline there to the beginning of the exercise, and that the fasting was that you normally wouldn't eat before you exercise. I think there's a point in that too.
Okay. You need to get to fasting. Quit thinking about all them fresh vegetables out there.
Hey, I'm hungry right now, so rub it in.
Okay, brother.
I'm entering all these receipts of very delicious food. I'm plowing through some, trying to balance the checkbook and whatnot, and I'm seeing all this food in the receipts, and I'm thinking, oh my, that would really be good right now.
Yeah. Well, we're in the midst of our harvest too, and actually, it's almost over. We've got freezers full, we've got refrigerators full, we've got shelves full, everything's full, and I've had to tell people, don't bring us anything, no more food. We don't need any more food. I'm talking about even for us to eat, you know. That's already cooked and stuff. But hey, Missy, you made it home, girl. All right. Praise God. Yeah. So that's where we are, too. I'm trying to get the refrigerator cleaned down to where we can put something in it. Anyway, when the Lord places it in your heart to fast, we don't need to wait around. We need to go ahead and try to make it do. You know, Lord, as a matter of fact, this morning, in one of the words that we got, Brandy got that, at Joel 2, where he wanted us to call on a fast. His was about calling a fast. So I don't know. Some people may be fasting here as well. Amen. Oh, you missed it this morning, Missy. Oh my. Oh man.
Yeah. Are you pulling my chain? Are you serious?
Yeah.
So what did I miss?
Huh?
What did I miss?
Well, you missed because you wasn't there, so I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding. It was a normal. We had two dead raisins and a limb grow out. And couple of things like that, but other than that, just normal stuff, you know.
You ain't right.
Oh, yeah, I am too. No, it's just a normal day. Normal day. Hi, Judy. Judy iPad. Hey, David. Yeah, let's see here.
Hey, Michael, hey, everyone. Yeah, that fasting, I've tried to do it where I thought, well, I'm going to fast. And, boy, I noticed real quick, you know, if the Lord's not there behind it helping you, it don't last too long. But otherwise, if you decide, well, kind of, you just feel like you know you need to fast or something comes up, and you just start doing it, and pretty soon you can go, you know, 3-4 days or longer. And, you know, then the Lord's kind of helping you out because you're thinking, well, do I need to eat today? Should I eat today? Or maybe I'll go another day. You know, you're able to kind of work that in, whereas otherwise you just can't do it. You know, your body just kind of takes over on you sometimes, and you think, I got to eat, you know, or something. You see somebody eating something really good, you think, man, I got to eat something. But you know, I don't know about you guys, but after I fast, and this last time I was only able to do it 4 days, I want to try to go longer again. You know, when you finally have food, you're thinking, you know, it smells better than it really tastes. It doesn't really, it's not really as satisfying as you're thinking it's going to be every time. At least that's what happens with me.
Yeah, I try to just do a little fruit first and maybe salads after that. And then I get down to the bologna sandwiches. Amen. All right.
Maybe that's the secret, bologna sandwiches.
Absolutely.
Bologna with mustard?
Hot mustard, yeah.
All right.
Of course. And pot pepper cheese and big old slice of tomato on it. Good gracious. Cool. I'm going to go get me one. I'll be right back.
Malcolm, you don't listen to this right now, right?
Malcolm, he's trying not to. All right.
That's no fair. That's absolutely no fair.
Sorry about that, brother.
I've been looking at all these cookies and fudge and brownies, all these things I'm looking at, and I think, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for, brother. We're flesh killers.
Oh, good. Well, it sounds like you're encouraging me to not.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
It is, you know, after a few days or a week or two and your body's, you know, you're craving food. Like I did this once for Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving, and then the Thanksgiving meal was my first meal. But, goodness, none of that stuff was half as good as it seemed like it was going to be. And then, at least with my body, I start going into all these cramps. Everything starts cramping the first time I eat.
Okay. I drink a lot of water during the fast. I used to drink tea and Mountain Dew and all of that, you know. But then I decided, well, if you're going to fast, you might as well just go ahead and fast, you know. I have done a 3-day with water and food, so that's good, too. I went halfway down the hill one day. David and I both were on it. Me and David were walking down there, and I thought I was going to have him carry me back up. It was that bad, man. I said, you feel weak as I do? He said, you right, we ought to go back and get us some water. I said, boy, it sure would be good. So we traked back up the hill and got us a glass of water. But that was pretty good. It's good. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, would like to be prayed for, or would like to pray? Y'all, go ahead, Missy.
Hello, Michael.
Hang on, okay. No, Missy fixing to tell us something here, and I'll come back to you.
Fudge is getting in the way. Did David mentioned about me asking for prayer for these darn bug bites that I got? Because I sent that along with my verses this morning. Did he mention that? I can't hear you, Michael, if you're saying anything.
I don't think he did. Did you hear him, Leon? Say anything about her bug bites? She kind of bug. She kind of. She muggy anyway.
Hey.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know what in the world. I don't know.
You talking about? You talking about those fire ants?
No. Actually, night before last. I don't know if I got bit and I didn't know it when I fell asleep on the couch listening to the Bible study, or if it was after I got in bed. But I got these bites all over my stomach and.
Does it itch?
Yes, and they're like really kind of like oozy.
Oozy.
Yeah, they just. I don't have to scratch them much or whatever, and they just ooze. You know what I mean? I don't know what the world. I don't know if it was a mosquito.
Oh, you! I know what you got bit by. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to isolate you. Oh, does it itch real, real bad?
It's not real, real bad.
You know what a chigger bite itches like?
I knew you were going to say that. No, well, I don't know what chigger is.
Okay, well, chiggers are out there in those peas, too. And I've gotten a couple of them since I was picking peas, so that might be what it is.
But see, that was.
That was day before yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it wasn't when I was doing those peas. It wasn't then. So anyway, but yeah, I got all the, I counted, I was getting close to 20. I know I bet 25 bites on me.
Okay, let's see how spiritual we can get here now. Well, what do you think? All right, let's just pray for it, okay?
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus right now, whatever this was, it bit her. You bit a child of God. Now I command those bites to be reversed. And I command that skin to be healed in Jesus' name. And I command all the poison out of it right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Missy is healed and delivered from these bites in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. For Missy, she is already healed in Jesus' name. And tonight she's going to get a good night's sleep, wake up in the morning, and that skin's going to be just as soft as a baby's behind in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Nope. That itch must go in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You bore that itch for me too, Lord.
Yep.
It's yours, not mine.
Nope.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Okay,
thanks,
let's,
Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
All right, I'll
mute you. Go ahead, Gaynold. I got you unmuted.
I was just going to share the verse that I got this morning.
Okay.
It was from James chapter 5, and my finger was on the phrase, like, right between verses 8 and 9, but I want to read. I'm going to start with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the presence of the Lord. Lo, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it, until it receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, because the presence of the Lord is at hand. And this is where my finger was, the presence of the Lord is at hand. And murmur not, brethren, against one another, that ye be not judged. Lo, the judge standeth before the doors. I just thought the timing is now. And I just thought it was an appropriate verse. It just really struck my heart when I read it. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And I just, you know, with everything going on, it's just really timely, I thought.
Yep, it certainly is. It certainly
is. Okay, that was all.
All right, bless you.
Okay, bye.
All right, okay, Judy. Hi, Judy.
Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear? I've been attacked today all day by that vertigo, well, all afternoon. And I almost didn't get on the call because I really don't feel great, but I'm not going to accept that either. But I know Satan doesn't want me on it, so that's, but I'm getting on it anyhow.
Amen.
So I just was wondering if you'd pray for me to get, feel better.
Yep, we sure will. Everybody stretch your hands toward Judy because she's fixing to get healed. In the name of Jesus, we command this attack off of Judy right now. In Jesus' name, vertigo, you go from her. Confusion, you go from her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that Judy has clarity of thought. She has balance in her walk. And she is healed in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you that from this point on, she's going to start feeling better and better and better. And finally, she's going to have supernatural energy. And she'll be dancing on the table before tonight's over in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Father. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank
Amen.
You, Father. That feels yeah. good dancing on the table.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. All right. Anything else, hon?
That's good right now.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Praise God. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or praise report? Or just a comment. Well, I want y'all to believe with me. I'm going to pray for my grandson again. Lord, I just lift up Blake and Austin to you. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a work in them. I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, that even though he's going to a, Blake is going to a rehab, Lord, it's a secular rehab, I think, and but Lord, at least he'll be detoxed and completely away from that stuff, and he'll be with people that are watching him. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that your Holy Spirit would just go in there and fill him up, Lord, and talk to him, and your angels talk to him, and you talk to him, Father. And I thank you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that he's going to be changed. He's going to be completely changed in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Y'all agree with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, okay. That's that verse that Gay Nold had. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Okay. What was the subject tonight? Yeah, Matt.
I just had a little kind of a confession and a little bit of a revelation that the Lord just kind of showed me recently that, you know, with everything, you know, growing up, and I thought I was ready for, you know, the tribulation to come around and for all the things that are going to be happening and we're going to be seeing. And then the Lord gave me a dream the other night, and basically he told me, you ain't ready. Because, you know, what I saw was horrifying. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm not ready, but you're going to make me ready. So it's kind of a prayer in a way that the Lord would help, you know, each every one of us to be ready. But, you know, I was getting to that point where I was getting a little high and mighty. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be ready because I'm in the Lord, you know, but I'm going to be ready, you know. And of course, by faith, I am ready, but
yep.
I was getting more into self-works, I guess, if you would say, saying I'm ready, you know, because that's not going to affect me or that's not going to bother me. So, Lord, I pray that you will make me ready, Lord. You can change the hearts of anyone, Lord, and the minds of anyone. I thank you for that, Lord, and that you make us all ready, Lord, for this. So we know not what is going to happen around the corner, Lord. We just have an idea, Lord, but you know, Lord, and get us ready so that it doesn't affect us too much, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, you know, we had a word the other night about people sitting on the fence. There's people still sitting on the fence, and they're not running after the Lord with all their hearts, and they still got a lot of stuff to get rid of. And that Lord told us, you know, repent now or just be left. You know, you'll be left out of all the what God's got planned for his people. And we had a confirmation through Eve. She had a word from the Lord. It was an awesome word. I don't have it with me right now. I thought I'd share it tonight. Let's see. I think I got it over here. And I thought I would share it because I believe it's appropriate for everybody. I don't know what I did with it. Hey, Leon, you got that?
Hey, Michael, if I can, you want me to put it on the blog so that way you can read it? Or not on the blog, but on the chat here?
Well, you can just read it.
Yeah, I can. Here, let me pull it up real quick.
Or I can, either one. They don't make me know never mind.
Yeah.
You can put it up on the blog if you want to, if you want to share the screen.
I can't share screens.
Oh.
Well,
I can do it.
I got it up right now. I'm looking at it. You want me to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, just go ahead and read it. Y'all listen because it's. I think it's appropriate for everybody.
Okay, the title is Only Through Obedience. Dear brethren, yesterday during our worship time, while we were singing, More Love, More Power, More of You in My Life, then I prayed, Yes, Father, give us these in our lives. He immediately answered me with, Only through obedience. It was so sudden that I said, What? Then he said, Intensely, only through obedience to the truth will my people have more love, more power, more of me in their lives. Then shortly after this, Father spoke through Michael and said, It's time to get off the fence and make a choice to serve him. Repent. I knew this was a confirmation of what he had spoken to me. So today I grabbed a pen and paper and asked him to speak to me more about this word, only through obedience. And this is what he said. Only through obedience to the truth you will have more love, more power, and more of me in your lives. Humble yourselves, submit to the truth of my word, line upon line, here a little and there a little. My power and my presence will steadily increase in your lives. Many of you become discouraged at what lies in front of you. The way that I have led you by seems like such an impossible path upwards towards my mountaintop. You question and doubt my way, a path that is seemingly unsure and full of hidden dangers, and you feel that it is oftentimes unfair that I should lead you by this way. But I am a good father, and this path was designed perfectly for you. Fear not, for I will be with you. I will strengthen you and uphold you along the way and refresh you with a renewed strength for each new day. But be aware of unforgiveness. You cannot have my renewal of strength for each new day if you carry forward the burden of unforgiveness unto the new day. The only real and present danger you face is disobedience to my word and my spirit. in your self will, I will not protect you in your disobedience. Your enemies will assault you with fears and doubts and cause you to turn back in discouragement from ascending my mountain. They will strip you of my love, my power, and my presence, and you will find yourself back down on the valley of despair. Study to show yourselves approved. You must choose to obey with every step upward along my path that I am leading you by. My way is always the best way. Though it seems difficult, unfair, and even impossible to your carnal nature, don't focus on the mountain or the obstacles in the way. Each has its own purpose for molding and perfecting you. Only focus on choosing obedience with every step. Then shall the way be easy, and you will walk in my joy and peace with much confidence. Each choice of obedience leads to greater and greater power. Let go of self-will. Repent of the fear that contends with you in the way, and choose obedience. Trust in me. With each choice of obedience, line upon line, there a little, here a little, my word being a mortar as master craftsman, if you build for yourselves a tower of safety that no enemy can penetrate and tear down, this is the tried method for receiving my power to overcome and to do my works, to be counted worthy to receive that crown of life. He says, I asked the Father for a word concerning these things and received. Daniel chapter 9, verse 13, and she reads 13 through 19. Excuse me. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet have we not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, that we should turn from our iniquities and have discernment in thy truth? Therefore saith the Lord, watched over the evil, or therefore hath the Lord watched over the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, and we have not disobeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, let thine anger and thy wrath, I pray thee, be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins, and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are around about us. Now therefore, O our God, hearken unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear upon, open thy eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. She continues on and says, more love, more power, and more of him in our lives, for all of us in Jesus' name. And she prays here, Father, grant us the grace to obey you in your word with every step. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thy eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee of our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercy's sake. Amen.
Amen. You know, one of the significant things about that and how to overcome is to do it step by step. That's what he said. You know, just do it step by step. Each step you take, just think about what you're doing, you know. Instead of trying to think, well, how am I going to work today? Don't think about today. Think about the next step you take. And I thought that was very significant that the Lord was showing us. All right. Anybody got any comments on what the Lord was showing us? Amen. You know, we just keep on keeping on, keep on doing what we know to do, and that's to run after the Lord with all our heart. Like just like Leonid was doing, he was went on that 21-day fast and found out that the Lord, you'll get closer to the Lord when you do things like that. You're seeking the Lord, and you're going after the Lord with all your heart, and he'll draw you nigh unto it. I remember Paul Washer talking about when he was seeking the Lord with all his heart, and he was wanting an encounter with God, just like Leonard was. I want to see you, Lord. I've heard about you, these happenings. I've read about these happenings, but I want to do it myself. I want to experience you myself. And he did that for a long time. I don't remember how many weeks or months it was, but he did that for quite some time until one day, finally, the Lord did that. He came to him. And put him in a, he said, I couldn't move. He said, I was in a fetal position. He said, the power of God was so strong. The holiness of God wouldn't allow my flesh to even look at him. He said, I thought I was going to die if he stayed there another second. And then the Lord just reached down and touched him and took all that garbage away from him. And he said, it was the most wonderful thing after that. And he said, that was 20 years ago. And he said, I still remember it just like it was yesterday. Just like it was today, I believe is what he said. And that's what he's talking about. He wants that encounter. We all need that encounter with God so that we don't forget what he's like. You know, the love that he exudes from his being is just awesome to be able to walk in. That's what he wants all of us to do. He wants us to walk in that love of his. All of us to walk in that love. I mean, I'm not talking about just L-U-V love. I'm talking about love like God wants us to love. Just like he loved his enemies, you know, with all his heart. We need to love our enemies too. That's when you know that you're loving like Jesus did. That's when you're humble and you're meek and you're walking as a servant of God. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael, when you said love your enemies, hi guys, this is Jeremy. When you said love your enemies, it's important to understand that if Jesus loved his enemies, he had no enemies, but they made him an enemy. Right? And that's the way to look at it, is that he didn't have enemies. They made him an enemy. And Paul addresses that when he says, I believe it's Paul, that says that they're enemies of the cross. Right? Because at that point, they're either going to add insult to injury or just act like it doesn't exist. Right? But, you know, enemies of Christ isn't necessarily, it's not Christ's enemies. It's not people that I hate or whatnot. It's, you know, it's people that hate him. And it's really important to understand that, because that takes away the excuse to harbor unforgiveness. It takes away the excuse to not love them. Because that's what you'll be judged about later on. You know, and you'll be like, oh, well, I put this person in my back pocket 15 years ago, and I have this deep-rooted bitterness that will occasionally come up and defile you. You know? But, and you might not even realize it. because your, you know, your carnal mind isn't going to understand, you know, when you're in that carnal, emotional fueled, sensuality. You know, it's kind of like being drunk under the influence, right? Because it tastes so sweet, that, that knowledge of good and evil, that tree, it tastes so sweet to eat. And I mean, you got that steam inside you and you let that out. Doesn't that feel good to release that? Well, if it's inside, you let it go. Give it over to him, and it won't be there anymore. You know, and so that's something that I've had to do several times. Then the Lord showed me I was like a little teapot. That, trust me, that's not a fun scenario. But, you know, then you let that steam go, you know, and you have to give it over to him, and then he turns the fire down. But until then, he's going to persecute you. You know, that's going to be the fiery trial that you're going to think strange is happening to you. So that's just something I wanted to throw in there, that Jesus doesn't have enemies, but people make him their enemy.
Amen. Yeah, you have something, Dave? All right.
Oh, no, I was looking up some Bible verses. I was just remembering that one. I was trying to find it. It was, well, the Lord's not going to conquer enemies in one day and not in two, but he's going to help you conquer one by one, basically. He'll help you overcome it, but not all at once. So I was trying to find out where that was at. I couldn't remember.
Oh, let's see. I can't remember either. Well, it hadn't been too long ago that I looked that up either.
Wasn't that in Judges?
It could be.
That's what he told them. He said he's not going to take everybody out of the land. He's going to leave some there and let them go bit by bit. I don't know if that's what you were thinking of.
That was it, but I couldn't get the exact words in my head to
find. Yeah.
But that's about the gist of it.
Yeah.
The Lord's going to help us, how to help us overcome in a lot of areas in our life.
You know whereabouts in Judges that is, Leah?
I think it's in chapter 3, but I'm not really sure. No. No, I don't, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, somebody will find it. All right. Anybody else? By the way, thank you, Matt. That was good. I like the way you read because it's slow and everybody can keep up with you. I don't like that real fast reading. Sometimes I get to reading too fast. All right. We decided tonight to talk about destructive demon doctrines. And, you know, to start out with, just in that book that David has called the same name, one of the chapters, and I believe it's chapter 1. Yeah, it is. It's the first chapter. He has it as speak grace and not condemnation. And he teaches first about grace and us to have grace for these people that are in these doctrines of demons and to have a lot of grace with them. And you're not going to, by beating them over the head with the word, you're not going to bring them into the, you know, the truth. Only, you know, a little piece here, a little piece there, and a lot of grace is going to bring them around. That's the only thing that's going to do it. I've tried to beating them over the head with the scriptures, and it just doesn't work. It just makes them that much more antagonistic toward you and the word, you know. So that's basically what we have to accept. Those David says the subtitle of that speak grace not condemnation, accepting those whom God accepts. And that's what we have to do. If God accepts them where they are, you know, until they learn something else, you know, we have to too. All right. Now, having said that, I want to open it up and let somebody talk about anything as far as destructive demon doctrines that you know that you want to. What do you want to say about it? What you want to bring up about it?
I've been listening to the teaching a lot. Some of the things I could listen to, because there's a couple of chapters that he doesn't have audio for, but you can read through the book. Of course, Speak Grace, Not Condemnation is a very good chapter to start with, because it helps you understand what grace is again, pulls you back into how we're supposed to apply it with other people, and not only that, and with ourselves, and start understanding how God's salvation works through grace, and how he worked it with the elect, and then he basically starting to lead with unconditional eternal security, and by understanding first how grace works and how it's applied in your life, and how it gives you grace to overcome sin and grace to walk in the newness of life in Christ, and how we're supposed to be using that grace to manifest Christ in our lives, not just sitting on our butt and assuming it's going to happen, but actually maybe being part of that process and acting out our faith and trying to walk in it and being cognizant of how our lives are and making sure we're staying in the love of Christ, making sure we're trying to walk in that grace. We're also at the same time not taking for granted that the only person that really has salvation out there is Christ. He's the one. And the way we have salvation is through Christ. And the way we have it through Christ is, of course, it goes along with what he was saying. You have to abide in Christ. You have to be obedient. And you have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, in the sense that you're trying to become what he's given you grace to be. You're using your faith, and at the same time, you're part of the process. You're very aware of what's going around and how's God working in your life and what it is you're overcoming, if you're overcoming. And if you're falling, you're understanding you're still under grace, and those are things that God's going to help you overcome. But not just to assume that, hey, I have the knowledge. I understand what salvation is. I accept it freely by grace, and I'm just going to sit back and let it all happen. That's not the way it works. We have to be part of this process. We have to be working with the Lord and be actively involved in praying, and we got to be fasting, and we have to be learning to love, like he said, and letting the Lord work through us to work out what we need to work out, the flesh, so we can come in and have that fruit of Christ. Very, very powerful stuff. Especially the unconditional internal security, because you know it kind of puts us on notice that we have to be part of this process, and that's why we're all here now, because we enjoy the Word and we enjoy each other and we enjoy learning from each other. We enjoy hearing from the Lord. But you know, I can't say the majority of the church is like that, and I'm not trying to be condescending in any way, and it's not my intent, but most are just happy to just be part of a system they feel that works, and they've got enough of the truth to carry them through, and they're happy with that. We're not happy until we come in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we're thinking. We want to see Jesus. The day we see Jesus, we want to see ourselves like him. We're looking to see him in that mirror. And I think that's what we're all striving for. And we're striving to hear his voice. We're striving to find out what it is he wants us to do day by day, you know, and listen to where he's guiding us. And for the most part, many of us are on the same path, and we hear from each other, and we think, oh, wow, you know, that's kind of where I'm being directed to. That's really where my heart has been. You know, it's amazing. You think the past few days, that's or a week, yeah, that's where I've been too. That's exactly what I was thinking. but I didn't realize that was coming through in a wave to all of us, and that's what happens. That's how the Lord works, and we realize, hey, there is a body of Christ, and he does work through the body, and we all kind of come together, and we have that fellowship, and we have a communion. We have the same path we're on. We have the same almost not thoughts, but we have the same purpose and what we're here for. Anyways, I'm just rambling right now, but just wanted to just briefly touch and without just reading it, which I think is probably the best thing, we just sit there and start going through it. That's kind of what I'm gathering from this again, from Destructive Demon Doctrines.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, you know, most of the mainline denominations tell us that Jesus came into our hearts when we were saved. Well, Paul disagrees with that. He was praying that God would strengthen believers by his Spirit in the inner man so that Christ can dwell in the believer. How? Through faith. To the end that the believer would apprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth? This is Ephesians 3:18. What is the breadth, length, and height, and depth? That's all of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. So we all need to be strengthened by his Spirit in order to apprehend and take hold of everything that Jesus says. We have to be running after Jesus with all our heart. And he talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the fruit that we're looking for? What is the fruit that God's looking for in us? Anybody want to venture that? What is the fruit that God's looking for in each one of his people? He said, if you don't bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold, well, if I don't know what the fruit is, how am I going to do it, you know? Well, the fruit that God's looking for is Jesus in each one of us. The Jesus. If we're walking like Jesus, at least 30 fold, you got it made. But if you're at 29 and 3/4 and 2/10, you ain't going to make it. It's got to be 30 fold. I don't know what that is or where that is, but I do know that I want to go for the 100 fold. Each one of us wants to go for the 100-fold. In other words, we want to walk this walk that Jesus has got us on just like Jesus. And there ain't but one way to get that. There's only one way to get it, and that's to renew your mind with the Word of God to understand what he's talking about. But listen to this. This has always been a blessing to me. In Ephesians 4:11, and if you read what it says, at the whole thing, you'll understand what God wants out of each one of us. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, how long are we supposed to do that? Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is that? The length, the breadth, the height, and the depth, right? All of Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. And then when that happens, when all of us are like that, at the end time, then we won't need the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and preachers, will we? We won't need them then. But that's what we all ought to be striving for now, is to the fullness of Christ in each one. And bearing fruit, of course, is coming into that perfection of Jesus Christ. And abiding in Jesus is coming into the fruit that he's looking for. And he ain't looking for green fruit, and he ain't looking for rotten fruit. He's looking for ripe fruit. just like the farmers, when they go out to the crops, they don't combine green soybeans. They don't combine green corn. They combine ripe corn, soybeans, and fruit and vegetables. They throw away the rotten ones. So he grows, God grows in each one of us just like a baby grows in the womb of his mother. You understand that? And then all at once you just come out and you know that you're walking with Christ. He tells us he's going to see us again, right? And he's looking for that Christ in each one of us. All right. Can you have the gospel without faith? No. The thing that unlocked the power of the gospel is our faith, is the faith that we have. And guess what? God gives us all the faith that we need. We just need to hook on to it and run with it. A lot of people have the gospel preached to them, but it doesn't profit them, because when they got into the wilderness, their wilderness, their private wilderness, they staggered and they fell back and said, "Ah, man, it's too hard for me. I ain't going to put up with this." You know, I had a pastor tell me when I first got saved, he said, "Man, it's going to be like tiptoeing through the tulips, you know." Man, I'm going to tell you something. When I became saved at 50 years old, after running a lifetime of sin and lawlessness, you might say, all hell broke loose when I repented and gave my heart to Jesus and believed on him. But I persevered because I found out in the Word of God that he's the one that does it. And I started believing that. Got out of that old apostate church, went into another apostate church. But that's what we do. We go from step to step, you know, from glory to glory to glory, until we manifest more of Christ than there is more of self.
I remember hearing, and when David taught this, it was very very informational, because when people are saved and we are drawn in, we're called, which a lot of people are, then he gives you that new spirit. I mean, that first he saves you, and then he gives you that new spirit. And then at that point, people think, well, I'm saved. But no, then we're supposed to develop that soul of ours. We're supposed to come in the image of Jesus Christ. That's our job. We're supposed to make our soul just like Jesus Christ's soul is, to become that full, complete person, that full man. Where people are dropping off, the called, is they're not becoming the elect. They're not pushing forward to be the elect, which is the transformation of your soul. And that's the image of Jesus Christ. That's where we are focused, and that's what our goal is, to be like Jesus. Whereas the church, if they're not getting this information, they are getting another Jesus, another Christ. They're coming in the image of something else that's not Christ. And that's the danger that they aren't aware of. But they think they've got the truth. And I think that's how we got onto this topic here, is the last week we were talking about, well, what is all this going on? How are people being reprobated? What is it the cause? What is drawing them away? What is making them just like the Pharisees were back in Jesus' day, to have all this scripture in front of them, to have the potential to walk in the kingdom just like anybody else, but at the same time, to completely lose focus on the right path and actually become the enemy of God, become the enemy of God's children, of who God is, and God's true people. What makes that distinction? Why are they doing what they're doing? Why do they have the mind of Satan? Why are they coming against God's people? What would make them do that? And we start to see here that they may have started out with the spirit, the right spirit, but they imaged as something they weren't supposed to image to. And that is the Antichrist image they're getting fed. So that's what we're trying to find out. Wait a minute, we don't want that. We want to make sure we're getting, you know, Jesus Christ. We want to make sure we're seeing what we need to see and get that truth to go back what was given to the original apostles. We want, that's what we're looking for, the original word. Because without that, you're not going to come into Christ. You can have another Jesus and not even realize that. That was the danger. We're trying to find out, hey, what is it we're looking for? What is it that they're doing, or that's a danger there, that we don't want to make that same mistake?
Amen. Anybody else? Romans 11. Let me look it up here. Romans 11, I believe it starts out in 19. Romans 11 and 19. Okay, no, I'm going to start out in okay, 16. And if the first fruit is holy, so is the lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive, was grafted in among them, and didst become partaker with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree, glory not over the branches, but if thou gloriest, it is not thou that bearest the root, but the root thee. Root's the Father, right? Thou wilt say then, here it comes, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. So be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither will he spare thee. Behold then the goodness and severity of God toward them that fell. Severity. But toward thee, God's goodness, if, condition, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, in other words, if they change their mind, if they repent, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So, We can see readily just out of that one, and there are so many more in the New Testament and the Old Testament that tells us that unconditional eternal security is not scriptural. Do you want to say something, Jeremy?
Yeah, sorry, I had to take the mic off to do something. I'm trying to interrupt. I'm just going to find this real quick. I was pulling up in Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Let me read this to you real quick, if you don't mind. It says, which I think goes along with what you're saying, stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Problem is, a lot of people don't know what the yoke of bondage actually is. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again that every man is circumcised, whether he be a debtor, to do the whole law. Christ is become none effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are following for grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You started off well, and you ran well, but then you got sucked away, and you got that charismatic that witchcraft, that the charismatic Christianity, churchianity that comes into you, and you turn away into, you know, have itching ears, and you turn away, and not from sound doctrine, but from something that seems like grace, but is really lawlessness, because people don't understand the law to begin with. Paul said that if I don't know the law, how would I have known sin? So they don't understand sin, so they think that they're just decided that they've become, they've just decided that they're under liberty without having the schoolmaster to teach them what they've been free from. So they can't distinguish the difference. They're a babe. In Hebrews 3, you talk about unbelief. In Hebrews 3, Paul, not Paul, but the Holy Ghost, he's adamant to write, the Holy Ghost swore in his wrath you shouldn't have rest. That's the rest of Christ. You should not have that because of your evil heart of unbelief. Right? The unbelief, really, that they're talking about is that I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. I couldn't possibly be wrong. But I tell you what, when you start admitting that you are wrong and repenting, that becomes addictive. It's like all of a sudden you're a new creature or something. It's weird, you know? You start realizing you're wrong about a lot of things. I'm wrong about this, and I'm wrong about that, and I'm sorry for this and that. And first you apologize to the Father, and then you apologize to your friends and family. And that's humbling. That's a cross. A lot of people don't even know what the cross is because they don't understand what sin is. So Jesus took all the sin for us on the cross and became the curse, but we don't understand that because we don't know what sin he took away. So what you're talking about running the race, I'm not trying if I got off track a little bit or if I'm talking a little too fast or reading too fast, Michael. if any of that is indicative, then that's something, if that speaks to you, that's something that I struggle with, not understanding what the law was to understand what grace I was under. And, you know, there's a subtlety in talking about destructive doctrines, and one of the worst destructive doctrines out there that's just rampant is literally that, fine, sorry about that, still with me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a phone call and it breaks up my phone, but literally one of the most destructive doctrines out there is that says, obedience to the Lord is legalism, because they don't understand it's a law of liberty, not a license to sin. You shouldn't continue in sin that grace may have been bound. God forbid. But if you transgress that, you know, Hebrews 10:26 tells us if we sin willfully, knowing it's sin, and we don't believe that people are telling us sin, there remains no sacrifice for sins, which is Jesus Christ. So, you know, the problem that a lot of people run into is that they have this greasy grace, not even once saved, always saved, it's called something different. It's lawlessness that disguises grace, because legalism is made of obedience. You guys follow? So, you know, if you hold true to the letter of the law, the letter kills, but the spirit brings life, but that's every jot and tittle that has to pass away within you first by understanding first the law. You can't let it pass away unless you understand it. So this doctrine takes you and tells you that, it tells you that you can't have this or you can't have that, when really, you know, that's the same thing that Jesus said. They impose their will upon you, like a brother said earlier on, the other Jesus. They become another Jesus, and they've got that charismatic thing going. So, you know, look at like Hillsong. You see their fruits, you know, and that's really, really sad. So I'm sorry if I kind of jumped around there a little bit. I'm kind of cooking hamburger at the phone call, kind of threw me off, but y'all follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. Thank you, Lord.
All right, well, it's the unbeliever. It's the unbeliever that we're all believers, right? But a lot of us have unbelief that we're wrong. And it's not really the unbelief that Jesus is Lord. We know he's Lord. The Bible's written to Christians, right? We know he's Lord. It's the unbelief that we're wrong. Paul says in Hebrews 3, harden not your hearts in the day of provocation. Why? Because you're being provoked. So when you're provoked, love them, right? You're going to count them as your enemy. That's the point. Don't harden your heart. Forgive them. They know not what they do, right? And recognize they are able to discern soul and divide soul from spirit, rightfully divide the word of God and know what's them. Man, I tell you what, that changes you, because all of a sudden it does give you a fervent love for people. And I praise God for that, and I praise God for you guys. But, you know, they get hung up on a lot of things. You know, there's a doctrine out there of witchcraft. Witchcraft this and witchcraft that. You know what's only said in the Bible six times? Witchcraft is only said six times in the Bible. That's how much God thinks of it. But we make doctrines of this and doctrines of that. Yet 1 John 5:18, I think, says that the righteous man keeps himself and sins not, right? So the hand of the wicked can't touch him. So, but if we keep concentrating on witchcraft this and witchcraft that, then that in itself is sin, because whatever you do without faith is sin. So we open ourselves up to it. Let it go. You know, let it go and focus on Jesus. He became the curse for us. There's no reason otherwise. You know, I got to talking. I didn't even set the timer. I hope these noodles aren't going to be too soft.
No, you're fine.
I got hamburger helper, and I'm going to have hamburger. I'm going to have beef soup, really, with like some noodle starch. That's what's going to be wonderful.
Okay, I can understand. You're not a fasting in.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, cool, Craig. Well, it is fasting. I apologize. But here, let me describe what this is going to taste like.
Okay. Well, praise God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. That's true. I'm going to go ahead and mute you.
Well, that was part of the original ministry when Jesus was starting out. He continued the ministry of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the kingdom of God. So that is a very good, that doesn't go away. Repentance hasn't gone away. At least as far as the message of the gospel is concerned, the message of the kingdom. So I think that sometimes, not that we don't take that into account for ourselves, but that's a very good point, you know, to understand how sin, what the law is and how we transgress the law so that we understand what it was we were offending God with in the first place. And then maybe look and see if we're walking lawless still, if there's lawlessness still in our lives that we need to repent from. Absolutely. But not that we're trying to fulfill the law, because Christ fulfilled the law for us at that cross, if we take it by grace, but we also do not want to be walking lawless. There's a difference. Lawlessness. We're not trying to be lawless.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, wherein also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if, condition, ye hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except ye believed in vain. Well, there's a condition there for salvation, isn't it? That's another condition. You are saved if you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you. So if you don't hold firmly to the word, that you ain't going to be saved, are you? You're not going to be saved. So it's just the reverse is true. Hebrews 3 and 6, but Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we? If, another condition, we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And in 14, for we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Colossians 1:22. I'm just going to go through some word here that's just going to just cut it right into the quick, that salvation is a progressive walk that we walk. It's not an instantaneously. You're saved by your spirit, but then we progressively walk out the salvation of our soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions that God wants us to overcome the flesh. Colossians 1:22, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. 23, if so be that ye continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. There's some more ifs there. It talks about departing from the living God. How can you depart from him if you were never with him or saved in the first place? Thessalonians 3:8, for now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Lest he fall. If you're not standing or being saved, or if you're not being saved, can you fall? And that's talking about believers falling from their salvation. That's what it's talking about. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Those Jews believed in Jesus back then, but he said to them, he told them, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. But there's an if there. If you don't continue to keep God's word, then you're not his disciple. What happens to those that don't continue in Jesus' word? Remember the parable of the sower. Three out of four didn't make it, did they? What happened to them? They were all saved. All four of them. I'm going to just go ahead and read it. That's Luke 8:5-15. The sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. Other fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other fell amidst the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And other fell into the good ground and grew, and brought forth fruit 100-fold. And he said these things. He cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That's the sperma. That's the word of God that's inside of us that grows and grows and grows, right? The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word, that seed, from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. With patience. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God in this parable right here. So if you can never lose your salvation, why does he say, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for who for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. Come on now. You can't go against the scriptures, can you? How can you fall away if you're not already a Christian, right? If you're not a Christian, you can't fall away. So he's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ here, because there's the ones that can fall away. Matthew 7:19 says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Matthew 7:19. If you'll notice, the seed that's in the good soil, those are the ones who hear the word. They retain it, right? And only by persevering and enduring in their faith do they produce that good crop that he's looking for. We have to endure in our faith to the end, is what he's telling us. James chapter 5 and verse 19, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and he's calling him brothers here, this is Christian, from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So James identifies them as his brethren. Those are Christians, right? And then he says that if they stray from the truth, and you go out and you help them get back, woo, you got some points in your hat there, boy, I'm going to tell you. God likes that when you do. You go after those people. And if you, the point being that here James is talking about believing Christians falling away. He's not talking about somebody that never had their salvation. He's talking about somebody that had their salvation and fell away. You know, you always get that argument out of the apostate churches that, well, he just never was saved anyway. Well, we've got example after example after example of Christian brothers and sisters that fell away from the gospel. Hebrews 10:26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? Does that sound like once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security? Sounds like that once we have the knowledge of the truth in Christ, we're all held to a much higher standard, right? We are. Once you get to knowing things and you fall away, it's not a good thing to do. We've seen people that knew a lot, fell away, and went completely out of Christianity. And it's happened time and time again, too many times. I've seen it happen. Because what they did, they crucified the Son of God all over again. And God doesn't like that. Amen. Anybody else got something they want to say about this? Unconditional eternal security? I think I've gone through plenty. Yeah, Willie. Gone through plenty of scriptures here. Go ahead, brother.
I was looking at scripture here in James that you read earlier, where it said, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. I'm just going to speak on myself personally. You often see the Lord in people. You often hear revelations from people and testimonies. And you look into them, you know, for the coming of the Lord. And, you start building your foundation on these testimonies. And seeing the Lord in people and, you know, hearing their revelations and their testimonies. And so you're like, you know, that's what I'm going to be like. This is the power of God. This is how I want it to happen to me. And when you're not seeing any of that, you know, coming to pass, you find yourself, you know, slipping away from God, you know, because you're looking at the creature instead of the creator who is blessed forever. And so here's the Lord saying, be patient, therefore, brethren, you know, until the coming of the Lord, you know, until that coming of the Lord is with you, you know, read the scriptures patiently and let God teach you it. I could share a million revelations with you. They will not give you a foundation. But with what the Lord does with your heart, when He comes, you know, into you and opens up the Word, it builds a sure foundation. You know, iron sharpens iron, you know. And that's what we do as brethren, one for another. But I found myself, you know, falling into that place to where, you know, I was looking to this person, looking to that person. And these were all great people, you know. And it did great work for the Lord, you know. But I was, you know, I looked at them as one would look at the gospel. You know, looking, you know, for the power of God to develop in my life, you know, through their experiences. They had to go through those experiences for the power of God to be manifested in their life, you know, and they share it that we might learn patience. You know, it says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit. And, you know, as you said before, you know, he doesn't come for green fruit. You know, he comes for ripe fruit. So what we do is we pull from one another. And we try to rush the process of the fruit. You know, I must be holy now because I heard it from such and such. Or my walk must be right now because I'm taking this brother's knowledge, you know, and I'm trying to apply it. But the Word of God has not applied it, you know, into my heart. You know what I'm trying to say? I heard what you said, and I know it's right. But for some reason, I can't follow it. Why? Because I'm looking for you to be my Lord. You know? Instead of, you know, looking at the Lord, you know, looking for His coming, you know. He wants to teach us that deals with us. The Lord knows every individual's heart, you know. And, you know, it says that the body, you know, takes hold of the head. Therefore, Christ does all the thinking. He does all the thinking. You know, you expect other people to think for you. No, they can share revelations, word of knowledge, you know, testimonies. But if you're not setting yourself aside, you know, unto the coming of the Lord, you know, in 5 and 8, it says, be also patient, establish your hearts. How does that even happen? You know, through the reading of the Word. You know, no one here can establish my heart. But, you know, we look for that in denominations. You know, maybe this will establish my heart. Maybe being a Baptist will establish my heart, or Presbyterian, you know, or Catholic, or Lutheran, you know, maybe they will establish my heart, you know. And you find yourself, you know, changing the glory of the incorruptible God, you know, like unto corruptible men. You know, and it says, and four-footed beasts, you know, and creeping things and birds of the heavens. I'm not calling you guys that. But what is a beast? It is a man who still walks in carnality. What are creeping things? You know, those things that aren't open, they move in subtlety, they move in dark places. What are the birds of the heavens? You know, these are those high-minded, proud people that just love to look down on others. Yeah, and so, you know, the Lord, what I'm trying to say is the Lord has been dealing with me in the sense of you need to be patient. You've heard a lot of things. You've heard so much. that you really don't have a relationship with me. You're building a relationship on everything you heard. You know, get into the Word and be patient. Receive, you know, receive the Word with meekness. You know, you got to humble yourself. There ain't no way to gallop over that fence. I can't take a revelation from Michael and leap the fence. You know, I can't take a word of knowledge from someone and leap the fence. You're going to be at that fence, you know, until, you know, the gates open, you know, and the Lord has established your heart. You know, have you ever noticed that you heard something from somebody and you're like, at that moment, you understood it, but when the Lord shows it to you, then you're just like, wow, that is powerful revelation. It's like you're not, well, that's all I really have to say about it. I was looking at that, and it says the husbandman waited for the precious fruit. You know, he's developing the precious fruit in us. You know, and we shouldn't forget that when we come together. You know, I had a bad habit of making a show of knowledge, and I'm not talking about anyone here. But, you know, what did it help to develop? You know, it didn't, you know, develop anything in me. You know, I became confused. You know, I became double-minded. You know, I was, you know, I easily got tossed to and fro like the wave of the sea. Because I was like the guys on Mars Hill. If I can best explain myself that way. Love to hear a new thing, you know, but not establishing my heart in the truth, you know, God says, you know, take hold, you know, if he holds out his hand, it's making that decision to take hold of his hand. You know, he came to me, with a thought, and all I saw was a hand. And I said, wow, can I take that hand? You know, taking his hand is a great loss of life. Are you willing to suffer that loss of life? And I told the Lord, I said, I don't know how to take your hand like that. You know, I'm just telling the truth. But he, you know, he's been kind to me. And he's just having me, you know, read through the Word with patience, you know, and giving me hearing to hear the Word, trying to establish my heart, not to just be a person who shows up here, you know. I don't want to feel religious. I don't want to feel this is mandated, and if I don't show up, oh, God, you know, I'm just not fellowshipping, you know. I want to know what it feels like to be, you know, joined unto the saints, you know, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, also, you know, having the Word be the greatest dominion over my life. I guess that's all I really have to say. I don't want to keep rambling.
That's good, Willie. Yeah, it makes you all think, you know, when you get in the Word, and you run across those scriptures that tell you to meditate on the Word. And you're exactly right about sometimes we read the Word of God like a newspaper rather than, like Willie was talking about, meditating on the Word, getting that Word in you. And I can relate to what Willie's talking about, reading revelation after revelation and letting people know what I know, you know. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to put that stuff in our heart, just like Willie was talking about. And that is so true with this walk that God has got us on. We're running out of a little time here, and I'd like to, Jeremy has something he'd like to announce, I think. And Jeremy, you want to tell us about tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah.
We're having a friend of mine come in as a pastor and prophet scout playthrough. If you, you folks would like a prophetic word, and come and see what he's doing. I just got back from Vietnam. He's been featured on TBN and Mega Man Radio, different radio shows for the past 30 years. So you guys are welcome to drop by. We're going to be on Zoom. Let me put the address in chat here. Hold on real quick. Let me grab that. Yeah, it starts tomorrow around 6 o'clock. And if you have your camera on, he'll come by and, you know, ask you if you'd like a word.
Is this a
yes, sir?
6 o'clock your time?
Central Standard Time, yes.
Central Standard Time, so that'd be 7 o'clock our time.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this guy, so we just have to wait and see. If you wanna go in there, that's fine. I may show up just to see who he is and see what he's got to say.
His YouTube channel and his website and whatnot. So.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much it. So if you guys are in tomorrow, I'll see you then.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
So how do you get into it then?
It's just a Zoom meeting, just like now. The address is right there. It's
I don't have my computer running. Sorry.
Oh, but look in the chat.
There may be some people that don't have their computers hooked up.
Okay. Look in the chat. Their call-in number's available.
He can't see you in the chat.
On the
He's in the phone. Can you hear me, Malcolm?
Yeah, I can hear both of you, but I can't see your computer screens because...
Well, hang on and I'll tell you what it is, okay? You got a pencil handy?
Okay.
You got a pencil handy?
Am I the only person on the phone?
No, that's why I'm going to give it out.
Oh, okay, good.
Here it is. If you're joining from a phone. The phone is 408-638-0968.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Or, here's another number if that one's busy or whatever. 646-558-8656. Here's the meeting ID. You're going to need this now.
Yep.
777-000-1212.
Got it.
Okay. Well, all right. There it is. And anybody else looks on there, you can just write down the website there. The Zoom thing. Let me see. I'm going to write it down just in case. I will warn you, I don't know anything about him, so we just have to be leery, you know. Is that an I in there? That's an I in there. 777. 000-1212. Okay. Got it. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request before we close out tonight? Yeah, it's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 4 p.m., whatever the rest of them is. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight. Lord, we thank you that people listening out there will get the message and it'll be a sweet revelation to them, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, that people's lives will be changed because of it. Everybody that contributed tonight, Lord, I just thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that that people's lives will be changed because of tonight's teaching through many sources. And we praise you for it, Father, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, what are we going to talk about Thursday night? What y'all want to talk about Thursday night? I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.